studio, battling the elements. Gene Weller, kind enough to join us. And, Gene, great to see you, first of all.
Good morning.
Good morning. Toys for Tots has been going on, I think, now for five centuries. It started back in the 1400s or something like that. It is such a staple of the community, though, and it has to be gratifying for you to see the response that year after year Toys for Tots receives in this area.
Absolutely. The generosity of the community is all what makes this really work.
Now, I suppose there's a chance that somebody out there, I can't really imagine this, but maybe they're new, maybe they just moved from another country or something. If somebody isn't familiar, give us a little bit of the background of Toys for Tots and what this campaign is.
Well, it began with one Raggedy Ann doll in 1947. A Marine Reserve major by the name of Bill Hendricks, his wife made this doll and said, "Bill, find a home for it," and realized in Los Angeles at that point in time there was no kind of agency or whatever to be able to do anything like get toys for needy children. And his reserve unit collected 5,000 toys. And it just so happens that 1947, just after World War II, there also was an effort. George Marshall and Harry Truman had to burr up their saddle from World War I, where they thought that the Marines got more publicity than what perhaps that they really had earned. And that, again, budget cuts, they were looking to get rid of the Marine Corps. And there were some, including the past CEO of Toys for Tots, retired as a lieutenant general in the Marine Corps, Pete Osmond. He liked to tell the story that Toys for Tots saved the Marine Corps. Because, again, this was 1947, one reserve unit, 5,000 toys. There was a staff study reported back to the commandant, "Sir, the nation does not need a Marine Corps, but the nation wants a Marine Corps." And 1948, it wasn't an option. All 150 reserve units across the country were doing Toys for Tots. So, again, it's trying to bring some hope and joy to the less fortunate in our community. And in many cases, situations where what we take for granted, being able to provide some simple toys for our children for Christmas.
Yeah, and Gene, we should probably spend a little time. Give us your background and then how you initially got involved with Toys for Tots.
Well, I was a reserve major when there still was a Naval Air Station in Willow Grove. There was a Marine Air Group there and had been the group supply officer on the reserve side. My active duty counterpoint was in charge of or responsible for Toys for Tots for Northern Philadelphia and all of Bucks County. And because this is a reserve function, felt a need to be involved, but living 200 miles away, there wasn't a lot that I could do. I couldn't go there on a Tuesday evening and help a couple hours kind of thing. So I sort of borrowed, if you will, some posters and letterhead from the Marine Air Group. And I had been referred to, I had heard of them, but had never been involved with the Marine Corps League, and met with the commandant. He said, "Sure, we'll help with Toys for Tots. You just need to become a member." So that was in 1987. And interestingly, the Marine Corps really was running Toys for Tots pretty loosely. Then there became a concern, what if Mike Wallace showed up in the commandant's office and said, "General, you say that you had received $16 million in donations." "Yeah. Can you show an accounting of that?" "No, it was just what was reported up from down below." Uh-huh. And so they created a foundation around 1990-91 time frame to then oversee. And actually, it was the first time that the Toys for Tots train logo that was designed by Walt Disney became actually copyrighted. Prior to that, they didn't even have copyright
to that. Wow. I did not know that. That's pretty remarkable.
And I guess it was 1992. The number of reserve units had actually dropped from 180 back to about 150. And we were one of, I think at that time, 67 other campaigns across the country. Now, I guess there were 180 reserve units at that point. Now there's about 150. And there's over 850 total campaigns. So it's gone from 67 of us that were local community organizers outside of reserve units to now like 700.
Boy,
Gene, I think I've learned something here, all right? Uh-huh. I try to be a history guy.
Okay.
Now, George Marshall was an Army guy.
Yes.
And rather highly esteemed, Marshall Plan, right. All that. You're saying he wanted to get rid of the Marine Corps.
That is what I understand from General Osman. Yeah,
I've never heard this before. Wow,
well, that's why you brought me in here.
That would that would have been a dumb move.
Well, again, you know, 1947 is also when the National Security Act was created. It was the first time that the Marine Corps actually had a designated mission. That being an amphibious force to be able to take on a beachhead and establish a beachhead that then, if it required it, to have the Army follow on, you know, and then go inland from there. But it was actually the first time that it was a codified mission for the Marine Corps, and that's when the Air Force was separated from the Army Air Corps.
Huh.
And again, 1947, we were greatly in debt. Sounds familiar, but trying to reduce spending. And really, again, the question, do we need a Marine Corps? Can't the Army and the Air Force, you know, really do what the Marine Corps does?
And the we've had Marines since the Revolutionary War, have we not?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And our Marine Corps League detachment is known as the Nittany Leathernecks. Do you know where leatherneck comes from?
I've heard the term. That and devil dogs.
Yeah, that came from World War One.
That's World War One.
Yeah.
Leatherneck comes from what?
That is because back in the Revolutionary War times, primary weapon was a sword. Primary place that one could find themselves severely wounded or killed would be a sword across the neck. So the Marines add a leather collar, which is also like with the dress blue is why we have that high collar.
There you go.
Man, this is just an educational experience.
An education.
You kids stayed at home from school. Hopefully you're tuning in this morning and you're learning a little something.
Well, and one of those great movies of John Wayne, The Flying Leathernecks.
Yes. Okay. Now, let's get some particulars on Toy for Tots, Jane. What do we need people to do, and when do we need them to do it?
Very good. We really are going to need the toys in the collection boxes, and there's several hundred locations around the county right now. And 5 years ago, we adopted Mifflin County, so if there's any listeners out there, we're trying to help out the children there as well. But the collection boxes will pretty much be picked up and taken from their sites. There'll be a few exceptions, but predominantly next Thursday, the 12th and 13th, because that's when we're moving into the Penn Stater to begin. We call it wrapping, but the pandemic forced us to change that process from wrapping individual items. We were restricted how many people we could have in 2020. So what we had done was we now have donated to us 13-gallon bags. And so instead of individually wrapping the items, we'll have the four toys per child, two for a grandparent that qualifies for a grandchild, put into the bag that's coded by age and gender. And then consolidate them for each food pantry. They give me a list that most of them are coming in today. I've got a few of them already, but they give me numbers by age and gender. I don't see any addresses or any names. So we're filling those orders. The fire companies, four of them, will be coming in Sunday the 15th and taking them to their representative food pantries. The rest will be on the 16th. And then we have our final move out on the 18th. What we need at this point would be obviously a toy, although hesitate using that word toy all the time. What I'm seeing and what has historically been the case, 50% or more of the children identified by the food pantries are ages 10 and above. And here's the second part. We can certainly use monetary donations. And those monetary donations, really, we don't expect we're going to need them for this year. But we had $18,000 and change that we had received last year, and we need to replenish it for this year because we're purchasing from wholesalers and being able to make those dollars go further. And we have to make those purchases in around the beginning of September timeframe. So what we received last year is what we spent this fall. and what we receive now will replenish so we can do it next year. And what we're purchasing in the majority of cases are things for the older children, and they could be bath sets, jewelry, sports equipment. There's a Penn State grad that has an organization in North Carolina, does a lot with Salvation Army, but we're able to get adult-sized sleeping bags for slumber party kind of things, including freight for $10 a piece. Wow. So we can make those dollars go further. So monetary donations, that if you go to lamont-pa.toysfortots.org, that'll take you directly to the webpage within the Toys for Tots site for us in Center and Mifflin County, and you can donate there directly.
Okay.
How many collection places do you have?
There are between 200 and 300. I mean,
in Center County.
In there's a handful in Mifflin County, but predominantly
that's a
here.
Lot.
There's 45 just around Penn State campus. So
yeah,
holy mackerel! So find a collection place or spot. Yeah. And put something in there. Now, that website you just mentioned is a little long. What is that again?
Lamont-pa.toysfortots.org. If you go to toysfortots.org, otherwise you just have to scroll down Pennsylvania and then for Center County. Otherwise, they will go toward the national campaign, which... that's fine, too. They send us toys every year, but for it to remain locally, need to go there. And for those who say, why Lamont? I mentioned earlier that we began our campaign in 87. The foundation was created around 1990-91. When they established the foundation, they identified us by our P.O. box for our Marine Corps League Nittany Leathernecks,
yep.
Which was in Lamont.
And I will mention, if you Google like Center County Toys for Tots, that is the site that comes up. So... okay. If you're having some trouble remembering, but that you can get there just by Googling Center County Toys for Tots, that'll get you there as well.
Gene, do you have enough helpers?
Yeah, we are looking pretty good. We always have a special session for youth groups and scout troops.
Pack 67.
There
ready
you
to go.
Ironhead's got that covered. It seemed like it took a little while for that to get established. But, again, we need to restrict this to about 75 volunteers. And with Ironhead's Pack 67 and a few others, we have hit that. Yeah, before when we were wrapping the toys, and I don't know, Jeff, if you were around about 6 years ago, we had 311 show up.
Is that what it
for
was?
For the youth and scout session. That kept us really scrambling, but it's amazing what you can accomplish. But the bottom line is, since we're not individually wrapping items, we run out of things for people to do if we get too many there.
Yeah, no, it's great. A couple of things with the toys, and I'm not sure I knew about the donations. So, I'm assuming that's at the site. It's a credit card. Is that right?
I believe it is.
Is there a way to mail, or pretty much you just want the credit card donations?
If checks are made payable to Toys for Tots or Marine Toys for Tots or officially Marine Toys for Tots Foundation, but has to say Toys for Tots on it, they can be mailed to my home address.
Okay.
That every week or so, especially this time of the year, that they get UPS, overnight. To what they call a caging company for Toys for Tots, and then within a few days it's credited to our sub account within Toys for Tots.
Okay.
But if they send it to my home address, which is 1981 Norwood Lane, State College 16803.
Gotcha. Okay. And if you are purchasing toys or other gift items, and I think that's a great point, you need them to new and unwrapped.
That is correct.
So that, we appreciate the intention in other situations, but we're looking for new, unwrapped gifts, what we'll call it. The older kids, is that... then the greatest need, like high school age, or still a need across the board? I mean, I know you're not going to turn anything down, but what's the need at this point?
The greatest need is going to be for those 10 and above.
Okay. So maybe thinking like sports items, jewelry, bath items.
Or that monetary donation for us to be able to purchase them.
Yeah, that's a great thought as well.
Something else my wife would be critical of if I did not mention it. It's been at least 15 years now. Bob Ott, who passed away a number of years ago, but had been the adult services director for the county, overseeing the food pantries, he wanted to meet with my wife and I this one day, and he said, can you collect food as well with the toys? My wife kicked me under the desk. Yes, we can do that. We started having our own church, we invite getting food because what we do with that, the first thing is we're not looking for credit for it. You can pass it on to your local food pantry. And State College Food Bank, historically, they do better than the outlying food pantries in Phillipsburg and Howard and Snowshoe and Center Hall. So what we do is, proportionally, if 15% of the children identified are from Center Hall, then we'll send 15% of the food that we collect to Center Hall in the same way with the other food pantries.
Amazing. And yes, definitely worth mentioning. That's another way you can help out here as we hit the holidays. The overall need, Gene, holding about steady, growing, ideally diminishing in the area. What are we seeing here, like, since the pandemic, maybe?
It does seem to be holding fairly steady.
Okay.
And one of the things, too, we want complete transparency with everything we do, that those folks that were getting to the end point here, contacting their local food pantry if they are in need, getting past that date when they send me those lists, then those folks will be referred to what is called the unregistered site. This is also true for those that would be served by the State College Food Bank. And unfortunately, Penn State football is interfering with our schedule because the Park Forest Baptist Church Youth Group is really who runs and has for many years the unregistered site for us, and they have a food stand at Beaver Stadium. So until the schedule of a potential playoff game there, we don't have firmed up that schedule, but it'll be for 3 days, and probably on the 19th will be the first. At our website, as soon as I know, I'll have that on there for those folks to be able to get toys and as long as it lasts food. And one last thing, that's correct. Or ultimately, the other place that's open 24 hours a day, and graciously, this has been about the 25th year that the Penn Stater has opened up their doors, donating space for us, that toys and or wrapping paper can be dropped off at the hotel lobby.
Okay.
And usually their staff, if they are at least at all free, they'll take it to the rooms that are already designated for us for storage.
Fantastic. Anything else that we didn't ask you that you wanted to get out this morning?
Can't think of anything other than, again, folks in Mifflin County, we're trying to grow both the collection as well as making the awareness there for folks that are in need that is there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, and I keep getting now contacts from Juniata County, there are still areas that do not have representation and that no one has volunteered to do what I'm doing here, in Juniata County. So would love for at some point somebody to say, hey, I would like to learn and become a coordinator, and boy, there's benefits from the foundation of getting collection boxes, toys sent directly, all that kind of stuff.
Got about a week to get those donations in, and we would certainly appreciate any help if you are able this holiday season. Gene, as always, great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do.